everyone, and welcome to For Azeroth Podcast, all about World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Manny. Manny, how has Azeroth been treating you this week?
Well, it's the official start of Season 4. Got into the raid, and I think I'm done with Battle for Azeroth.
In the first week?
We are going to get into this as we talk through all the stuff that's been going to the show, but yeah, like now I've seen pretty much all of it. I'm doing other things.
You're ready to like post-mortem it already?
I'm not ready to post-mortem it. I really do want to like try some other things. Like I've only been doing certain things just for gearing progression in some ways, but in other ways I'm going to slow down. I'm going to be more casual this tier. It's been a very strange mix. And so at the same time, I've been like, oh my goodness, I don't have enough time to do everything. And then on other points, I've been saying like, well, it feels like there's not enough to do right now. And it's just this very strange mix.
Yeah, I can see where that sentiment is coming from, because I feel like when I'm doing Warcraft, it's like, especially with the horrific visions, I have to like farm up, like spend so much time getting like grinding all of these little whatever the currency is. And my issues with the currency are like a whole nother thing, because you get like the currencies that drop for like to make the key thing, and then you've got like each different type of enemy drops something that you need 6 pieces of. Like, I've got so much crap in my bags right now, it's ridiculous. But I feel like I'm spending a ton of time trying to like check all those boxes, but then it culminates in this like one thing that, since I only have one chance at it, or like most of my grinding for the week only goes to doing this thing once, then I totally understand your sentiment, Manny, of saying that then there feels like there isn't anything to do. It's like there's too much to do to get there, but once you get there, there's not enough of the there.
Yeah, and strangely, I'm almost on the opposite end of getting to that. Like, I'm sitting on 3 or 4 keys to do, like, the keys for the visions.
For the visions, yeah.
Yeah. As well as like whatever coalescing visions I have to buy the key. So I can go and do them, but like I'm kind of terrified to do them because I don't want to waste my keys and fall behind, sort of thing.
Which I totally did. And I think, I mean, maybe, I guess, I think we have an email. Yeah, okay, we do have an email about horrific visions. So I think maybe we'll hold over this discussion for the end of the show, but I definitely think there's something there in the keys versus the timing and stuff, and how it kind of relates even to the Mythic Plus system. So I do want to talk about this, but I think maybe we should just do it when we talk about the email. So do you want to just jump straight into news then?
Sure, let's jump into the news.
All right, well, we have a lot of obviously bugs and balance issues and all kinds of stuff with the latest patch. But I think they're slowly but surely fixing things, right? Like, I mean, I started off the patch in war mode and it was actually pretty fun until there was a whole team of Alliance like camping the daily location in Uldum. And, you know, that is what it is. That's a world PvP that just is part of the game. So it's whatever, but I was just like, oh man. And I was like typing in guild chat. I'm like, oh, I can't get anywhere near the dailies. I can't pick up my quests. Like, oh man, this is so frustrating. And then one of our tanks was like, why are you in war mode? There's no bonuses. And I was like, what? It was not like, I'm so used to just like being in war mode that I never check the little buff. But yeah, it was disabled.
Yeah, but it's now back. Like, it was down from like for a bit. It's back now. There's a reason to be in there. I have dealt with that.
Because I feel like I started off the patch in war mode and it was pretty fun. But then it's like I turned war mode off and everything just went so much faster. And I was like, man, why do I even play in war mode? And I haven't turned it back on again.
I've had a lot of fun in war mode. Yes, you can be taken off course, but if you find the PvP, world PvP engaging, it can be great. Obviously, there's times when it's like, what's the call to arms this week? I'm going to be very careful when I'm in these areas, or maybe you're just like, eh, I'm going to turn it off for just these areas. But in general, well,
My time is so restricted now that I'm just like, I don't have time to spend an extra, like, half an hour, hour, whatever, in war mode. I need to just get in, get stuff done, and get out.
Yeah, and I've been trying to get all the call to arms done as well. So it's definitely been something that I have looked for or just put time towards. But that wasn't all. They did like a number of different changes. They finally fixed the mail. So I've got my gold and finally am now pushing much closer towards my mount. Super happy about that. And I'm glad.
I think one of the girls in our guild actually said that she had 1.1 million gold waiting for her when they fixed the auction house bug. So because the auction house was still working, you could still post, you just weren't getting any gold, right? So she had basically like stockpiled accidentally like 1.1 million gold. Just like, wow. You guys are playing the auction house on a whole other level.
It's been a busy season, and I'm glad that all the gold that was meant to be coming to people has now finally arrived.
Well, as far as we know, right? Because as much as Blizzard says, you know, like, and maybe this is, you know, Joss with her tinfoil hat on, but I mean, like, realistically, I guess there's a lot of like tracking apps and stuff, but with the disruption to the system like that, I mean, do you actually know that you got all the right gold that you were supposed to?
I mean, if you were tracking it, like, it's very easy to track your own sales. I haven't seen, and I'm sure if there were issues, people would be rioting on Reddit. I haven't seen that.
I guess that's true. Yeah, okay. You're totally getting a window into Jocelyn's auction house soul right now. But I mean, like, I literally like go in and just click on all the stuff I want to post, and then I go to my mailbox and say collect everything. I never pay attention to how much things sold for, how many I sold. Like, I just go and like basically like auto post, auto collect, auto post, auto collect. Like, I don't pay attention at all.
Meanwhile, I just got off a half hour conversation with the same lady in our guild talking about like what's selling and how much we want to like reset certain prices.
Yeah. Different mentalities and different levels of commitment to the auction house.
And then going forward, we're getting the Heroic Warfront, which in the North American realms, we're now working towards unlocking Darkshore for the Horde. But in the EU, the Horde actually got access to the Heroic Darkshore in the middle of the attack wave. So before, Blizzard had rolled this back when it was the Alliance in Europe that had done this. But now they're actually going to let this go. There's been a little bit of upset about this, but moving forward, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and I can see why people would be upset. I mean, like, when it was the Alliance, then they rolled things back and changed things, and now that it's the Horde, they're not. I mean, I get it, but yeah, I mean, I just get it.
I don't. I wish they were more consistent. I can see the complaints for this.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I mean. Like, I totally understand the complaint side of things. Like, I understand people being upset because, yeah, like, they did one thing for the Alliance and not for the Horde, and you should have either let both go or rolled both back. So, I mean, what I'm shrugging off is, like, normally I'm like, oh, Reddit, calm down. But I think this time they might be right.
Yeah. Further things that they've done is that they've done a lot of retuning for corruption. So, big ones are that some of the crazy effects are now scaling with item level, and they did some direct nerfs to some overperforming ones, so I'm very happy for that. There were people who are showing like rank 10 training swords that had corruption, and because they had corruption even at item level 10, sorry, they were just ridiculously overpowered.
Item level 10?
Yeah, there was a training sword that was a picture on Reddit that had the corruption, and they showed the Sims and it just beat out their like something that was like 400 item level because the corruption just carried the day.
That's crazy. I haven't actually cleansed anything yet, and I think I'm just kind of blindly wearing all of my corruption pieces because people just say that they're really good, so I'm just like, okay, I'll just be corrupted, whatever. My Nazoth eyeball on my forehead approves.
I've been very careful with my corruption. With our last raid, I was healing, and I did not want to deal with any corruption, so I made sure that my net corruption was zero for that part. But when I'm doing damage, I can deal with it. When I'm doing PvP, I don't want it. I feel like corruption should actually be disabled in PvP, if you ask me.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. And I mean, it's a one patch mechanic, probably, hopefully, unless there's some sort of like holdover into Shadowlands or some sort of I don't even know, like shadow version, death version. I don't even know, like, how to, would it be like, instead of corruption, it's like rotted gear or something, but then it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Anything that's rotten is usually worse. So, but yeah, anyways, I mean, it's a one patch effect. So I could, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but I'm not too worried about it. Like, they could play around with it. I don't think they're going to get to the point of like, should we ban it in PvP or not, or blah, blah, blah. Because again, it's only for one patch. So, I think that they're just going to let it go.
Yeah, and it is something to test, too. If you're dealing with the bad effects of the corruption, you're really doing it to yourself when you like put on that gear and run into PvP. So
yeah,
I can understand why just let it.
Yeah, you're leaving the decision in the hands of the players, which is probably a good thing. They also buffed some trinkets. Actually, a trinket that I got to drop in the raid this week, the Vita Charge Titan Shard, is the one that I got, which I'm so excited because I've been playing since I switched back to my hunter. I've been playing with two active, like, on use trinkets, and man, it's the worst. I am so glad that I only have one extra button to push now, and I'm probably still not using it entirely correctly because it's the trinket that drops from Ashvane, the Razor Coral thing. I'm probably still not pushing it exactly when I should be, but yeah, doing that alongside with the you know, sit and channel from Ashara thing that I always forgot to push again after the beginning of the fight. Like, yeah, I'm glad to be rid of that one.
Yeah, and like, we have a full list in the show notes of all the ones that were adjusted. They were 10% buffed. I really do like that I can put aside some of these trinkets, and the Razor Coral trinket that you're using and I am also using, even though it still is outperforming a vast majority in a patchwork fight, I'm also seeing that very few of the fights in Nyloth are patchwork. There's a lot of
oh my god, there's so much trash and so many ads in every fight.
Which is causing target switching, which means that you're really not getting the best use out of the Razor Coral, which is a little bit more complicated to use than your average on-use trinket. But
yeah, so I think I'm just going to, I mean, maybe even using the Ashara trinket is the better way to go for the majority of the fights, because I'm 100% noticing that it's really difficult to use in all of these like crazy ad target switching fights. Like, even when there's like one major boss and not a lot of ads, like the Rod End fight, where it's like you have to go from like an orb to an ad to the boss and then to another orb to another ad to the boss. Even that, it's like you don't ever get stacks on that Razor Coral. So, yeah, I think maybe it's time to retire it. I want all of the not active trinkets. I want passive effects, please.
Well, there is that two-set bonus if you get the Vita Charge and the Void Twisted Titan Charge, so
that's
maybe that's
true.
What you want to look at.
That's true. I'll have to use all my bonus rolls on him once we get to him in Heroic. And so there's one more change that they've made with Emissary Caches.
Yes, the they no longer drop cloaks. Thank you. Like, at this point where everybody should be having their legendary cloak, and if you're actively playing the game and getting your emissaries, why would they not be getting their legendary cloak is beyond me. So that's now a change. I've seen some poor people get like 3 cloaks in a row that I've talked to, and their nightmare is over. So yeah. Thankfully, Blizzard has been working on all these changes. It is something that we all wish had come before the patch went live, but
I can't believe it wasn't in before the patch went live, because not for my emissary cash, but I got a 450 cloak with a socket on patch day from my Mythic Plus chest. And I was just like, yeah. I was so frustrated. I was like, this is such a good piece of gear if it was in any other slot. Like, why, Blizzard? Why?
Many Murloc noises were heard.
Yes. Oh, man. So many Murlocs. So many Murlocs. They also went in and buffed dailies. So this is the dailies for the assaults. So is it both zones, or is it just like the non-Nazoth zones?
Both zones, okay. The 3 to 4 dailies that you would get have been buffed. And the in the Nazoth zones daily, you would get the daily to go into the vision, the lesser visions,
right.
And that's also been buffed. So that's both the rep and the coalescing visions have been buffed. There's good and bad to this. People are saying, oh, it feels more mandatory because the rewards are greater. But there's also the pro to this, which is that now you have to do less to get your cloak upgrade. You don't have to grind as much in the week to get those runs at your horrific vision. So it's a big right. fight about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I can see both sides, because I looked at this originally and thought, oh, great. Okay, so now when I log in and do everything once, maybe twice a week, I'm going to end up being in the same place. Because like the coalescing visions for those dailies went from 50 to 250, which means I have to do one where I used to have to do 5. Like, that's a big change, and it's positive for those of us who don't have as much time. But I can also see the flip side of it when, you know, someone like you comes in and says, you know, oh, I've been playing every day. I do them every day. I've got 4 keys just sitting around. I'm like, man, I barely made it to a key last week. And, you know, I probably won't have a key this week because I just don't have enough coalescing visions to go buy the thing from Rathion. So, like, I kind of see both sides of the, I feel like I should be doing more now that they're more rewarding, but at the same time, it's kind of nice that, like, I don't feel like I have to log in every day. So it's definitely a weird feeling, for sure, and which makes me see both sides.
Yeah, so I had been talking about this in the Discord, and I want to say this for our general audience. The difference between if you do no dailies and if you do all the dailies is definitely greater. But if you are somebody who can only log in twice a week, this is a good change for you in terms of coalescing visions. You're already going to be doing the login to do your first assaults sometime in the first half of the week. And then you can do the second minor assault sometime at the beginning of the weekend. If you do 2 days around those, right, you'll have enough to do at least 2 runs through the horrific visions. What this is really going to start disrupting people is the rep rewards. There are going to be people who are going to get the rep faster. But if you are not, like, trying super hard, no shower try hard, this isn't that bad for you. Because at that point, you are not going to be staying in step with people anyways. Because we're about to reach the point where contracts are going to become available. At which point, if you're not clearing the map, doing every every world quest possible, you're technically behind. So it's a hard thing to argue, because there's people who will argue that this is bad for rep when they're arguing that I want to do nothing versus the people who are trying to do every little thing. And you're still able to get a lion's share out of this from doing just 2 days, or even just 1 day won't put you super far behind.
I think maybe I need to, like, time my days better or something, because I feel like I'm like missing an assault a week somehow. Like, I always play on Saturdays now, basically. Like, Saturday is my play day. And mm-hmm. by doing that, I'm missing one assault a week, which I think is how I've gotten so far behind. So maybe I just need to figure out more playtime somewhere. I don't know. But in terms of the rep rewards, so contracts, they allow all of the, is it all the rep that you get from world quests? You can decide where that goes.
So a contract is every world quest that you do will give you 10 rep towards the contracted reputation.
So they're still the same crappy ones from the beginning. It's just now they're for the new factions?
Correct. And
That isn't really worth racing towards. There's also the other rep reward with these factions is the the infinite augment rune. But I've got to say, as somebody who bought it at the end of Legion, I did not use that infinite augment rune nearly as much as like its cost. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could have just gone onto the auction house, bought augment runes through the entire end of Legion, and then I still wouldn't have hit the amount of gold that it took me to buy it from, I guess it was the Lightforge Draenei dudes. Yeah. So I really, when they come out in the last patch, it just feels like, well, I don't need this now. I needed this when I was like grinding and trying to, you know, prep for the next tier, because one of the big things about farming the raid in this tier that we're kind of like hemming and hawing about if we even want to do it is that everything that we earn in this final patch is just going to be replaced with leveling greens when Shadowlands comes out. So it feels like you don't need to farm as much, and we might take time off. We might go do other things in the game or whatever. So it's the kind of thing where it's like, of all the times in the expansion for them to release this infinite rune, like, I'm not going to buy it this time. So again, another reason to not grind that rep and not really worry about that rep. I thought they had changed contracts in this expansion or this patch for some reason. But yeah, if it's just the same, like add an extra 10 rep, like, yeah, no, that's for min-maxers. That's not for me. It's not something I feel that I need to race to anyways.
Yes, but outside of that, the reasons that people would want it is that, like, let's say you want to make gold. Those contracts are going to sell to those min-maxers. So trying to get the rep so you can buy the contract definitely is something for people who are goblins on the auction house. If you are
really?
Somebody
because,
who...
I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. But as someone who was an inscriptionist for the first, like, patch and a half, so I think it wasn't until 8.2 that I changed my character over. And, like, no one was buying those. No one. I would make them and put them up, and they just never sold. And it, like, even after they changed it from being, like, you only have to buy it once and then it's infinite, like, even when they made it weekly, still, like, nobody was buying those. I feel like people who actually wanted to, like, min-max their stuff just have a character that's an inscriptionist and weren't buying it off the auction house anyways. Like, yeah.
It was hit definitely hard because it didn't have the duration, but the new ones for Mechagon and for Nashatar have actually retained decent value. That on our server, Bleeding Hollow, they're selling for thousands, 2,000 or so each, which is a decent amount to do in a one-time sale for a single thing, not including the people who are buying it over and over again.
Right,
there's also the fact that those contracts will allow you to get the Paragon chests that have the rank 4, so people are constantly rebuying them to try and cycle it to cycle through Paragon reps. And the fact that these new ones do have rank 3 essences behind them, and that's a big push for a lot of people to try and get exalted. So that last little stretch from Revere to Exalted is going to mean something for people who are pushing into Mythic difficulty
and not getting
it down in the first couple of weeks.
That's true, but I feel like people pushing into Mythic difficulty are not the people that I'm talking to right now. Like, the people that I'm talking to right now are, like, our heroic team and not Mythic people. You know, like, they're people who have some time restrictions, aren't min-maxing, aren't pushing Mythic, like... there's no reason to grind up this rep. Like, there really, really isn't.
Yeah. It's a small community of people who are really pushing, and then there are people who are taking advantage of those people pushing that can also make money. And because of the trickle-down effect that always happens with this stuff, a lot more people are concerned about it than they should be. Yes, and that's what we want
to
say.
Yeah, that's the point that I was trying to get at, is that, you know, there's a lot of people that are not necessarily blowing this out of proportion, but I think worrying about it on a level that they don't necessarily need to be. And that does include me as well. You know, like, I totally screwed up my first horrific, or not my first, like, I guess my first solo horrific vision, when I tried to go and do something and then got in combat for too long and then ended up not getting my cloak upgrade. And I was just like, oh man, like, I'm going to just fall so far behind. And it's like, yeah, but realistically, it's only 2 item levels on 1 piece of gear. So it's not actually the end of the world, but it feels like the end of the world because of everything that led up to it. But really, like, we're not pushing for, you know, world first. And I think that, you know, since we're not, it's actually like all of this stuff is just good for people like us that don't have a ton of time to play and that are maybe, you know, realistically, if all you're aiming to do is hit, you know, ahead of the curve before Shadowlands, you have months and months and months and months to do that. There's no reason you have to get it all done in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I always suggest to people, if you have limited amount of time, refine your play. That's going to last you much longer than any piece of gear, right? And that will help you get to higher levels way faster. So that's it for the dailies being buffed.
Yeah, no, we have some pretty big news from the world of esports. Activision Blizzard and Google have announced that they are entering into a multi-year agreement, which is kind of crazy. And they're basically not only going to be using Google Cloud and, you know, using that to store and serve games and stuff, but they're going to be exclusively streaming their esports to YouTube. What? This is crazy. And so this first kind of crossed my radar, obviously, because of Hearthstone. But I mean, this includes WoW stuff, too. This is the Arena Championships. This is the MDI, like, everything. It's crazy that they're just like abandoning Twitch. And I mean, both YouTube and Mixer and Facebook Gaming have all been, you know, making these big, huge moves in terms of trying to get big streamers. But unless I'm completely mistaken, this is the first, like, super big company to sign, like, an exclusive streaming deal. I know that there were, I believe even Blizzard signed deals with Facebook to, like, concurrently stream, but I don't think I've seen anybody, like, exclusively switch to one of these other platforms in terms of these, like, big esports events. Now, I don't follow League of Legends and I don't follow Dota, so I might be wrong by saying that, but I haven't heard of, or it hasn't registered with me, any other big companies making exclusive streaming deals with people other than Twitch.
Yeah. Obviously, Activision Blizzard, they have now ended their deal that they had with Twitch for streaming. I'm lukewarm about this news. I realize that Activision Blizzard mostly was doing this for Call of Duty, and then most of their other stuff sort of fell in with it, because Call of Duty is, like, their biggest esport, bigger than Overwatch and Hearthstone. Overwatch League, they're really trying to push.
They've been trying to push Overwatch League for years now. And I mean, I know it's popular, but it's not that popular. It seems like for the amount that they've invested in it versus, like, any of their other esports, it just seems like they can't be making the money. It just can't be.
Yeah, I worry that it is kind of like the bubble's going to burst on that. It might be one of those things, much like Heroes of the Storm, where suddenly the rug gets pulled out from a bunch of people. But regardless, that's the big one that Blizzard is concerned with as part of Activision Blizzard. Hearthstone is solid, but Hearthstone also has the collegiate unit, which is also coming along with that. And I do think that this is good buzz for YouTube, I'm not sure how big a buzz this is for Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, I'm so torn because I spend so much time in the Twitch ecosystem and I spend no time on YouTube. Like, I might go watch a cinematic here or there or, you know, whatever, but the place where I consume my gaming, specifically video content, is 100% Twitch. Like, most of the time I'll just go sit up on the couch and I have the Twitch app on my TV, so I literally just like open Twitch and see what's on and see who's streaming. And then if I can't find anybody who's live, I have a couple of streamers that I'll actually go and search for and watch their VODs from earlier in the day because most of them are EU. So like, that's what I'm doing with my time. I don't spend any time on YouTube, especially I don't even think I've ever visited. Like, I don't even know where to go to watch gaming on YouTube. Like, it just is not a thing for me at all. So, I mean, most of the time, obviously, the Blizzard esport that I consumed the most was Hearthstone and to a lesser extent, the MDI. And both of those things pull me in, not because I'm like specifically setting aside time to watch, but because I've sat down on the couch and seen that like Hearthstone or WoW has fairly high numbers. It's like pretty up there in terms of when I go to browse games and I'm like, oh, what's on? Oh, the MDI was this weekend. Right, cool. Okay. And then I go in. But if I don't just spend time in YouTube, then this is not a thing I'm ever going to see. So I'm wondering how many people out there are like me that just don't spend time in YouTube gaming and as a result are probably just not going to watch live anymore. Like, they might go catch a VOD or something, but I'm curious.
Yeah. And YouTube, for me, I'm on YouTube a lot, not for the gaming. Again, like you, Twitch is for my gaming. YouTube is a lot for the videos. So I will watch, pre-rendered videos, fat boss guides, little news reports, and that sort of stuff on YouTube. It's never been something where I'm watching live streaming. And hopefully this will help them. But what I'm speculating about this news is that we might see Blizzard IPs being hosted on Stadia or Stadia, however it's pronounced.
Yeah, I think it's Stadia. It's like Stadium, but yeah. Sounds like there's many of them.
Yeah. So Stadia. Because I think that an MMO like WoW would be perfect on Stadia. I think that sort of shooters like Overwatch are definitely something there, and if they can have people go, hey, look at this and why don't you play the game and go right through, that's the Stadia engagement that they were promising, and this might be steps towards that.
Yeah, Stadia was something that I looked into at first because I mean it's the new hotness, right? So of course you're gonna look at it, but it was very much like a huge expense for basically nothing. And the games that they had as part of like the Founders Bundle or whatever was just like, I think you got access to like Destiny and then everything else that you got air quotes access to as part of your subscription was literally just like, hey, you can go to the store now and buy these games. I'm like, that is not, no, Stadia, like you are doing this wrong. But the addition of something like, you know, Warcraft, Hearthstone, Overwatch, you know, whatever, that could maybe entice some people over to at least give Stadia a try. You know, like I still think I would play most things just straight up on my PC, but maybe there's some people who have never, you know, played Warcraft before and they're like, oh, this MDI thing looks cool. And then they click on it and then all of a sudden Warcraft, they're just playing Warcraft. Like that could be a good thing. I don't know.
Or if you have an aging system and now you get to play it at like the best thing. But it's a very strange thing because Stadia's biggest issue is that it requires the bandwidth, and so only people with that kind of bandwidth can really take full advantage of it. It's really a weird little market segment where you're like, great internet but crappy PC.
And it's so funny because like they keep, well, see, we haven't actually, because of the way that Stadia works, because of you have to have a subscription to access the store, and then the stuff in the store was like the old Tomb Raider games and stuff. Like, it wasn't very compelling. It was all stuff I'd already played through on my gaming PC. So I was kind of like, I have no reason to do this. So I haven't actually tried it. But what they keep saying is that they have so many data centers that it shouldn't matter if you don't have like gigabit internet, right? And I can't like wrap my head around that. And maybe it's that I don't understand like internet traffic and protocols and data transmission enough to understand how they would be able to like take the load off of your actual connection without too much of like an upload download or too much like space on your hard drive, if any, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand how it works, but they keep saying that your internet shouldn't affect it too much and that you can do things like it's so low latency, it has something to do with the controller or something, that like you can even play fighting games on it. And it all sounds way too good to be true.
But, and it has proven to be too good to be true.
Oh, okay. See, like, yeah. I basically, because they didn't have any game offerings that I found interesting, I haven't really spent a whole lot of time like following it at all. So I wasn't sure if there were people who had had a chance to really get into it and test it and give it a try. But I was going to say that if all of that is true, then like shooters like Call of Duty or to a lesser extent Overwatch, they could very much, you know, be good poster children for like, hey, come to Stadia, play, look how good everything looks. Those are good titles to do that.
Yeah, and it would have been a really amazing thing for them to be like, Overwatch 2 on Stadia, right? Day one would be a nice way of rekindling that Stadia thing, but I don't know. I don't see much from this entire announcement that is really good for Blizzard, other than them probably getting a buttload of money in the deal from Google.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is that I'm not 100% sure, like, who's getting the deal here, I guess. Like, are they getting a bunch of money from Google and YouTube? Are, you know, they
for paying an exclusive contract? Yeah. YouTube would have to pay them.
I would assume, but I'm just wondering how much of this, like, Google Cloud, like, storage space and servers and all the rest of it, like, I'm wondering how much that actually played into it instead of like just straight up money.
Okay. So sort of an ease on their cost and such.
Yeah. A trade basically. Like, here, you use our Google Cloud tech and then in return, just you're not allowed to stream on Twitch anymore.
Definitely something that would need to be known. Maybe you could look into public filing, but again, that's something a little more than we do on a Blizzard game show.
Yeah, I am definitely diving way, way deeper into this than I probably should be. But anyways, yeah, so that is happening, and I'm really curious. You guys should definitely either email us or hit us up in our Discord, because I want to know how many of you are like me and don't even know where to find live game streams on YouTube, or how many of you are like, come on, Joss, get with the times. Jeez. Get off of Twitch, get on YouTube. This is how you do it, whatever. So yeah, write into us. You guys can email us at fazpodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Discord at bit.ly/fazdiscord. We have a couple of emails, a couple of Discord questions today. The first one comes from Second Wind, who says, how often do you feel like horrific visions should be doable? Is the current limit good or is it too restrictive? If the answer is unlimited, do you feel like people would be burnt out on visions after the first week and just do it as a chore to level their cloak instead, like Islands became? If not, where does the difference lie? So I feel like by tying it directly into the reward of the cloak, that's almost where they, I want to say, like, made the mistake, because I played the Chromie scenario over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I played the Mage Tower over and over and over and over and over and over and over until with both pieces of content, I was able to like beat it, right? And so those were like unlimited trials, basically. I think technically what did the Mage Tower even cost? Was it like resources or something?
There was like a small, like 100.
Yeah, it was like 100 somethings, but I can't remember what the somethings was. All I can remember is...
It was specific to 8.2 and you got it from on the island from, or the Broken Shore from doing different quests.
Oh, okay, because I was like, whatever that 100 bits of something was, I never hit the point where I had to go and farm them. Like, I always had way more than I would ever need to go into the Mage Tower. But yeah, like, I feel like it just was something I did over and over and over again to attempt to finish. And I don't get that same feeling with the Horrific Visions because it's very specifically tied to leveling your cloak, which feels like so central to this specific patch. And because getting into it is so expensive, because you need the 10,000
coalescing visions.
By the end of 8.3, I will have nailed the currency names just in time for them to change them for 9.0. But anyways, so all the little vision bits that you get that you have to get 10,000 of, that is such a high cost and it takes so much grinding to get that one key. And then because there's no way to kind of like practice, like I'm at the point now, I think I have one key left in my bags, but I'm at the upgrade to rank 7 and you need to do 2 areas in order to do that, which I didn't even really understand from in the game. I looked it up on Wowhead and Wowhead's like, okay, you need to make sure that you go and do this. And it was the same thing, even like I didn't realize to get from rank 5 to 6 that I needed to go and do one of the extra areas. Just because I happened to have the Wowhead page open because I hadn't been into the Stormwind one yet and I was doing it solo. So I'm like, I at least need a map. And then obviously it's Wowhead, so they have a whole guide. And then so by reading that, it was like, you know, warning for rank 6 and 7, you need to go and do this area and this area. And I was like, oh, definitely didn't realize that. So I haven't even used that key because I'm not confident that my character can go through. And just because of my restricted time, I find it really hard to group up with my raid team right now. But yeah, basically, I've been doing these visions solo and I feel like it's just too much of a risk because to get the piece, I either have to do like 2 visions and clear the same area twice. Like, so use 2 keys to get 1 cloak upgrade, or I need to like try to find a group or go in and risk losing it, which is what I actually did in the first week because I pulled a pack, didn't realize I couldn't use my like sanity restoration globy thingy when I was in combat, even when my pet was tanking. Like I thought it was just like a normal cast that I could just cast. And so I couldn't use the thing when I was in combat. And then I ended up losing all my sanity before I had defeated anything. And so I didn't get the cloak upgrade. And I was like, oh my God, like it felt so bad that now I just don't want to go in and do them. So I feel like it's not necessarily that I want them to change the limit because I don't want it to feel like, you know, min-maxi where like, oh, I can get 3.7 runs in this week, you know, to hit the you know, limit of how many vision bits I can get. It's like, I wish that they would just give you an option to go in and practice. Be like, just be able to like go and talk to Rathian and be like, hey, dude, I don't have any keys, but I need like a trial run. Can you just like, you know, send me in, but don't give me any loot? You know, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you've been saying. I've had time to think about this, and it has been something that I have like hemmed and hawed about. Last week, I said that 8.3 is going to be live or die based on this one particular piece of content, because this is the content with the long tail, even longer than the raid itself in some instances. I think that there should be some sort of way to say, okay, I want to not worry about my cloak upgrades, my main course thing, and I want to just play this to see how far I can get. Just a challenge run. If I could tick that off and go into a different mode that's just challenge run, let's see how far you can go. That would be so great. And I think it has to be divested from the core power mechanic of the expansion of this patch, because otherwise I'm worried that it would become a bunch of people being like, we got a carry group, we're pay us like a bunch of gold and we'll make sure you get your cloak upgrades. And I don't want that for this system. I have seen people on YouTube, even in our guild, that are like, I want to try and push as far as possible. And this week, after I had screwed up because I didn't know Stormwind, and so we did, originally our plan was we were going to do two of the corrupted zones, which are the level 2 zones, and one lost zone, which is the level 3 zone. We got through and we're going into the lost zone, and then we realized, oh, we didn't complete one of the criteria to actually complete one of the zones we had been in before, so we had to hightail it back and everything, and the run ended up failing. I was fine with it. It was fun, right? Myself and a couple of friends just trying to do what we could. We went in again, and this time we did both of the zones and then died to Shaw in our lost zone. Oh, well, but man, that was fun. And oh, this is how Shaw works. And doing blind runs are great. But if I wasn't sure that I could get my upgrades for the week, I wouldn't want to do that. And that's a place where a lot of people are, and they're losing this great experience. And I think that Horrific Visions are a great experience that I hope the community latches onto. But as long as we're all terrified of falling behind on our cloak, a lot of people are going to miss out on that. So I suspect that Blizzard is going to learn from this, and hopefully Torghast learns from this, because I really feel that Horrific Visions are a test run.
Oh, yeah, they are 100% the beta for Torghast, for sure.
Yeah. And maybe a way of doing it is to say that, okay, you have a limited window of opportunity, and that window of opportunity is a time thing. Like, here's 3 days, and in these 3 days you need to complete this objective, but you get as many runs as you want to do that, which will allow people to do that. But time gating is a very scary term for the devs, and I don't know exactly what the answer has to be for this, but it is something that needs to be adjusted. I don't think you can have it unlimited, like I said, just because part of what makes it fun is the kind of pressure, and they didn't want people running it as a race, like the island expeditions had become, and they didn't want people to not have any incentive to go there, because that's why people like me did not actually complete Chromie, because what was the point?
Well, I mean, there was a super cool transmog set, which every time I wear it on my paladin, people are like, whoa, where did you get that? Because I feel like I was the only person that actually went and completed the Chromie scenario. But every time I wear it, I have people whispering me in capital cities being like, where'd you get that? It looks so cool. And yeah, so anyways, there was cool transmog. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I want a place to practice, because I feel like the stakes are so high for someone with a little bit more like restricted time. Where, you know, I don't really, like, I get one key a week, basically. And if I get one chance a week, then I'm feeling like I just don't want to go in and do it until I could maybe, you know, get a group who knows what they're doing, or, you know, whatever. I don't have that same feeling of, I want to go and explore and see how far I can push, you know. It's not giving me those vibes, because I feel like I'm going to screw up my only chance this week. And if I don't get it, then I'm going to fall way behind. And like I said, you know, earlier on in the show, each upgrade is only a couple of item levels. But it's just a feeling of, you know, being so far behind, and the extra like sanity resistance, or no, wait, you're not trying to resist sanity. You're trying to keep your sanity.
Oh, corruption resistance, yeah.
Okay. Or, you know, like that's the kind of stuff. It's not corruption resistance, though. It's like, it's the thing that makes it easier for you to do the Horrific Visions, right?
Oh, sanity fortification, as
yes.
It were.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah, like that thing, it very specifically has to do with, you know, pushing further and further into Horrific Visions. So if you're like piece of content that you love doing isn't Horrific Visions, then your cloak level, it's just less and less relevant. Like, it does have the corruption resistance that could let you wear better pieces of gear potentially, but there's also essences for your neck that can do that as well. So, and especially with the extra slot opening up on your neck, you have the potential to, you know, just get some of those corruption resistance essences and use them as your fifth minor. Like, you know, like there's options.
No, you're right. Fourth minor. It's three minors now and one major. Sorry, rather it's. Yeah, three minors, one major makes four minors that you would have.
Yeah.
But the problem with the essence is that the unique effect of reducing your corruption by 10 means that even if you had three of them equipped, you're only reducing it by 10 for the first one that you used.
What?
Yes. I'll say this again for the people
listening. Yeah, cuz I don't really understand what you're saying. So like you the corruption resistance essences are unique, so you can only equip one?
No, it's a unique effect. So even if you have like four of them equipped, it will only ever reduce it by 10.
Right. Okay. So yeah. But I'm just saying, like, there is an option outside of the cloak that has to do with the neck that will also reduce your corruption, or you can cleanse your gear, blah, 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 blah. So like the only thing that the cloak is doing very specifically and uniquely is making the Horrific Visions a little bit easier because you're losing your sanity slower, because they changed it so it doesn't impact your sanity meters in Carapace and the N'Zoth fight. So they're no longer relevant to raiding. So I feel like if Horrific Visions aren't your cup of tea, you don't need to worry about the cloak upgrades as much because the cloak item level is already so high. I think mine's pushing 470 or 480. I can't remember now. It's a level 6 cloak anyways. It's way higher than any of my other gear. So it feels like, you know, another two item levels on that cloak isn't going to make or break my raiding experience. So if Horrific Visions isn't your jam, it's not a big deal if you're not upgrading your cloak.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not worried about those milestones, because that proc for your primary is going to be huge.
What proc? Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And regardless, though, there's like it is part of what I was talking about. Like, there's so much to do, but there's also so little to do. Like, you got to upgrade your cloak. You've got to get item upgrades. You've got to work towards your essences. But you're also locked in how far you can go. So partway through the week, if you have the time, you may just run out of things to do. Unless you're like alt crazy, which I'm just not.
Which you are
this
not,
week,
yeah.
This week was the week I decided that I was putting my Demon Hunter pretty much out to pasture. He's going to make money on the auction house while my Shaman goes out and adventuring. Because I cannot do it.
Poor Demon Hunter. He sacrificed everything and this is how you treat him?
He's sacrificing my free time. It's one sacrifice too much.
Aww. Manny, who is our second email from today?
So our second email comes from Kettlepaw, also from the Discord, sorry. And asks, when do you think Night Elves and Forsaken will get new capitals if they do? And do you think that they'll be closer to the revamps of their original locations or new locations altogether? What would you rather see? And so, for people who have been paying attention, the Night Elves seem to be relocating to the World Tree. And I think that is cool. That is actually pretty close to their old second World Tree, which wasn't blessed by the dragons. But
you mean Mount Hyjal?
Mount Hyjal, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's where I was going to say, like, if I could see them relocating to anywhere, it would be Mount Hyjal or possibly Moonglade, although Moonglade is a little bit more druidy than straight up Night Elfy. I think Mount Hyjal is probably more appropriate, but that would definitely be my pick for a second home for the Night Elves.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is going to be represented well in game. I'm not sure if they're actually going to change the area once you hit whatever the new cap is in Shadowlands, Because it's not relevant 60, to where we're playing.
Isn't it?
Yes, 60? You're right. 60. Yeah. Because it's not relevant to what we're playing in. It's just sort of like a background sort of thing.
I bet that they'll probably like move the night elves there. Like, that's where you'll go to see your surviving night elven figures. That's probably like where Malfurion will be, unless he goes into Shadowlands with Tyrande. I don't know if they've actually confirmed whether he's going to be fighting beside her or not. He seems to be suspiciously absent, even in the, I don't want to say too much because it might still be spoilery. So I think maybe I'll wait another week or two to say stuff, but he just seems suspiciously absent. Unless I'm totally forgetting that he was even in places, which I could be because he's Malfurion and he's, yeah.
He could be shapeshifter, then he could be that bird over
there.
Yeah,
he could be a tree. And yeah.
Well, I think that that's what they'll say. It'll be something that is talked about, but not really shown. If you go to Mount Hyjal, you're not going to see anything that's updated past what's currently in the game right now.
I think they might drop a couple of NPCs in there as like an homage to like, hey, this is where the Night Elves live now. But I don't think they're going to actually like make it a proper capital city.
Yeah. And I think the same is going to be true for the Forsaken. I don't think you're going to see them get a proper capital city because the World of Warcraft team doesn't like capital cities. None of the allied races really got functional capital cities unless they were the expansion capital cities of the Kul Terrans and the Zandalari. You didn't see Maghar orcs or anything do that. They had one-time introduction sequences where you go through some portal and they never talk about where you came from again.
Yeah, Suramar for the Nightborn, they have a city, but it was, you know, the end zone for the whole expansion, so...
Yeah, and of
the
course
High Mountain Tauren,
but like again, functional capital cities are just not something that we're going to see again. I don't think they're going to revamp any location to create a capital city-like effect. The best you can hope for is like what Josh said, they'll put like people near boroughs that'll be like, yeah, this is where we're living now for the Night Elves, or they'll put... some Forsaken guards being like, yeah, we renovated the undermine whatever that Garrosh made, and that's where we've set up camp. But I don't think you're going to see them create new locations or even revamp previous locations.
You mean that they'll take over underneath Orgrimmar?
Yeah, because Sylvanas,
my vote would have been
afterwards.
Like South Shore, probably.
Yeah, I feel like that would cost them more effort. I honestly think that it would be like two guards in front of the portal that goes to Ragefire, being we're set up down
here.
There.
Now.
You can't
don't
be
go
there.
In there.
Yeah. Don't go in there. That's for the dungeon.
Us. Yeah,
don't
just trust us. Yeah. Yeah.
But. I do think that it is something that I would like to see them explore later down the line of these displaced civilizations. I really do think that the Night Elves should be more central to the story in their more militant tone. We had the entire cinematic that has been added as part of the heroic battle front for Darkshore. So now there is a canonical end to Darkshore.
Yeah.
And I would like to see...
Which still kind of felt anticlimactic, didn't it?
I think all of 8.3 feels anticlimactic.
Yeah, I guess. And I didn't really want to go into that too much today. I wanted to give people a few weeks to you know, finish it through their own rating experience if that's what they choose to do. So I didn't want to talk too much about the kind of finale of all of this, but yeah, like, I don't know. I did watch, and I guess I feel like less worried about spoiling Warfronts because they're Warfronts and there wasn't too much to spoil anyways, other than, like you said, they gave basically the Night Elves the canonical win. And even then, like, the it was, what, a 15 to 20 second cinematic that was basically just, like, Tyrande standing up in front of a bunch of Night Elves and Greymane being like, huzzah, we won! Like, yeah. That was it! I'm barely even shortening that.
Exactly. It's not much to spoil. It even felt a little rough in, like, their animations and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we have a canonical ending that's in-game for people who don't.
I was going to say, we don't usually get them in-game, right? They're in the Chronicles, like, 10 years later.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad for that. And like you said, we will talk more about, like, how 8.3 has wrapped up the entire expansion, because I honestly have been listening to how many different content creators who have talked about this, and I have my own take, which I definitely want to share once people have had a good amount of time to get their own impression.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of time. I mean, a lot of people are saying that they don't expect Shadowlands to be coming out until, you know, like, some are even saying, like, post-BlizzCon. So we're going to have a lot of time to do postmortems on 8.3. We're definitely not in any kind of rush. So, but yeah, I mean, just one more thought, because you did mention kind of militant Night Elves and the way that they're kind of feeling now. And when you mentioned the Forsaken having a place that they kind of set up shop in Orgrimmar, like in your faction's like main city. So on the Alliance side, obviously their main city is Stormwind. And I kind of actually want to see a significant portion of Night Elves kind of take refuge in Stormwind, because that's where they all got ported to. That's where they kind of landed post Treepocalypse. And I kind of want to see them being there instead of on Hyjal, because Hyjal has obviously a lot of like connection to the Night Elves and their history and everything else. But I'd kind of like to see them take a step forward into like, and like less looking back at their history and more like taking an active role in their present and future. And I would like to see them like up in Anduin's face. Like, I don't want them shoved off onto Kalimdor again, you know, like I want them to be right up there, Eastern Kingdoms in Stormwind with like Tyrande and Malfurion as like refugees in Stormwind, like taking over a district and being like, we live here now. Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, can we please go, you know, do something, hunt the Banshee, kill the Forsaken, you know, something, anything. Like, that's kind of what I want to see is like an up in your face Night Elves, not a, okay, their story is done now. Let's just shove them up in a tree and forget about them.
I like them. Okay, sorry.
Well, I mean, it seems like that's what they do a lot.
Yeah, no, it was a perfect turn of a phrase. That's why. I would love if they maybe took over the park district and you had sort of like an overgrowth sort of thing where they're there. There was that little area overlooking Stormwind where they were going to do some stuff in Warlords. They could take over that section and it could actually be something where they do that. We're also seeing that because they burnt down Teldrassil, the Worgen that were there are also displaced, so maybe we could have Stormwind get a little bit of more different cultures influencing different areas. So you have like a Worgen district, you have Old Town being the dwarf sort of gnome district, you have the park being the Night Elves, and so the capital city would be more reflective of all the races. Orgrimmar already does that to a certain point where you see the various sections that are there. A completely different take on it is if they move things into a new zone that is maybe on Orgrimmar, it could be these two factions or these two parts of the factions claiming new territory for themselves. So you could see them much like we did in Burning Crusade, where we saw a lot of Blood Elf architecture. We saw a lot of Draenei architecture as they moved into these new zones. We could see that as a push, and I think that would be also something that could kind of go with the story and the repercussions of the war, but also move forward with the story as well.
I like all those ideas. So, Kettlepaw, I hope we answered your question. That's pretty much going to do it for us this week. Manny, where can folks find you on the internet?
So, as always, I can be found over at Twitter. That's TrueVanManny, true without the E. You can join us in the Discord, where we're having conversations, much like we talked about, and where we got these two questions. And that is at bit.ly/FazDiscord. Joss, where can people find you in the internet when you're not running around in real life?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. Also, if you've made it this far, I just wanted to say a special thank you to you guys, you listeners, this week, because I know our episode is a lot shorter this week than it has been in the past, and also later than it has been in the past. I have been super sick. Apparently, when you work from home for 5 years, you just totally lose your immune system. So, yeah, going out into the real world has kind of kicked me in the butt. So I appreciate you guys for supporting the show. I appreciate you guys for listening. Again, go and hit us up in the Discord. We love having conversations with you guys. And if you'd like to find our show notes, you can go to tgistudios.com/Faz to find links to everything that we've talked about this week. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for listening.
And as always, guys, may all your hits be crits.